And joining us now, ESPN senior writer Ryan McGee. Ryan, what's up?
It has been a much busier afternoon than I was expecting today, Sarah Spain, but for all the right reasons.
I can imagine. Just yesterday you responded, I think, or maybe this was earlier today, time is a flat circle, that you were just amazed at some of the stuff that had already gone down at NASCAR, you know, kneeling and making statements and coming together in ways that you've never seen before. That was before they came out and prohibited the bringing of the Confederate flag to events. Can you kind of talk me through how you've watched and reacted to all of these little movements leading up to today?
Well, as you were saying that, and it was a fantastic first question, I got a text from my editor that said my column just went up on ESPN.com.
All right.
The afternoon I've had and the week I've had and the 2 weeks I've had is, these are all things, moments, images I never believed I would see in my lifetime from pit road, from the infield, from NASCAR competitors. And it's not that they didn't believe this. And I've always been very clear about that. I worked at NASCAR in the mid-2000s, and it was a constant apology for the Confederate flags. And it was a constant apology for the fact that the diversity display case at the NASCAR Hall of Fame is about the size of a microwave. You know, it was a constant apology for all of these things. And so I knew where the president of NASCAR's heart was, Steve Phelps. I knew where the competitors were. I knew where Jimmy Johnson was on all this. And so to see it all actually happen and to see the relief on people's faces, even though it's a fight, to see the relief on the face of Bubba Wallace, the face of Jimmy Johnson, the face of Jeff Gordon, the face of people that I know have felt the way that everyone knows now they feel about the flag, about racism, about inequality, about all of these things, to see it all out there is crazy. Listen, the furthest I ever thought it would go was in 2016 when with the horrible church shooting in Charleston, and for the 15th millionth time, the debate about the Confederate flag over the State House, the Capitol building in Columbia, South Carolina. And NASCAR's response was, anyone in the infield with a Confederate flag, bring it to us, and you can trade it in for a NASCAR flag or an American flag or the flag of your favorite driver. And I thought that was a nice punt, but that was as far as they would ever take it. And so to get that tweet today, it's hard for me to explain. Because I covered as a journalist, but I also covered as a lifelong NASCAR fan, and the relief I felt I tried to describe it in 1,000 words on ESPN.com, and it was hard.
Yeah, Ryan, that's really interesting, very heartfelt. You know, I got to be honest, when I heard about it, I had a lot of different feelings. Like, I mean, now, finally, about time. But I also thought, you know, NASCAR has handled these last few weeks. I've been pretty impressed with what they've done, to be honest. Then I thought about Kyle Larson, and I thought about, I wonder if this was the about-face, the look in the mirror, when that happened and said, you know, on the heels of that, and looking at the Confederate flag and looking about what's going on with the Black Lives Matter movement, maybe there's a problem within that we need to sharply act appropriately. You talk about people's hearts being in the right place. How much of that incident when Kyle Larson used the N-word maybe made them look inside and say, hey, we've got to be on the front end of this kind of stuff because we don't want this creeping into our sport.
100%. You know, I wrote a column that day about the fact that everybody worked so hard for so long to correct the wrongs that everyone admittedly committed in motorsports forever. And it's not just NASCAR. It's Formula One. It's IndyCar. It's everywhere. There are not a lot of pigmentation in the skin of these competitors across any form of motorsports. And so, you know, for Kyle Larson to do what he did, it just was like hitting a rewind button. And it just was like, and I wrote it in the piece, you know, sometimes when I walk into a press box in a ballpark or a football stadium and I've just come from a race, I almost feel like I have to apologize with a lot of these guys because the stick and ball guys just roll their eyes. Like, okay, race is sport. It's not that way, and it hasn't been that way in a while. So when Kyle Larson does that, it puts everything back to 1968. And it's, you know, when the Confederate flag flies, and I was just talking to Clinton Yates about this, you know, now I can finally take him to a racetrack like I've always wanted to do, like he and I have talked about for years, and I don't have to spend the whole time containment and distraction. you know, hoping that he doesn't see those yahoos over there, you know, flying the Confederate flags. And so there's a relaxation now, and I don't have to apologize anymore. You know, I love the sport so much. And anyone who tells you they can't enjoy it because they can't go to Talladega and stand underneath the stars and bars, they've never loved it as much as I have, because that's not what I need. I need race cars.
Well, your story is beautiful and heartfelt, and you do go into, you know, the likely defenses that people would make for why it matters to them to still be able to hold something that has become a symbol of hate. It is not history, not hate. That is a terrible argument, and it's a transparent one for anybody who still intends to hold up something, knowing what it means to so many. I'm curious, yeah. Ryan. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wrote a piece, and I said it earlier today with some other folks. Y'all don't come at me, and I'm talking y'all, the people that I know were coming at me with the heritage, not hate thing. Listen, you're talking to the descendant of the slave owners. I'm standing on the coast of North Carolina right now, just south of a fort where, was overrun by the Union Army in 1865, and I had a great-great-great uncle and grandfather that were taken from there and in a prison camp in Elmira, New York. So y'all don't tell me what that flag was. I know exactly what that flag was, but I also know what that flag is. And so don't anybody come at me with a history lesson of what that is, because people act like I'm betraying some sort of cause or betraying their DNA. Give me a break.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think that this will apply to other things? Because I can see some of the slippery folks who someone just jokingly on Twitter called Y'al-Qaeda, which is hilarious to me, even though it's inappropriate. Can you see some of them wearing belt buckles and T-shirts and tattoos and anything else that will allow them to slide outside the idea of the flag is banned, but not the flag's representation on something else?
Yeah, they will. And I might even be related to some of them. And whatever, you know, if that's your win, then I win. You know, I don't have to look at that. You know, I don't want to have to go to the racetrack and shield my eyes from anything. And no offense, Redneck, I ain't looking at your waist. So I just don't want to look at that flag.
Yeah, Ryan, I really feel you, and I appreciate your words with all this. How important is Bubba Wallace, as the only full-time black NASCAR driver, been? I mean, he's been outspoken from the start, whether it be with Kyle Larson and choosing to forgive and speaking about how important that is to the Black Lives Matter car that he's racing tonight, and all that he said in between that time, being a voice and not being afraid to step up and talk and use his platform. How important has he been to NASCAR and its progression?
If he's not there, I don't know that anything that's happened over the last 2 weeks has happened.
Wow.
As simple as that. And, you know, we're kind of in the self-congratulatory phase of there's a lot of people that are going to take a lot of credit for a lot of the things that have happened, particularly over the last 4 days, whether it be Martinsville, Atlanta, the press releases that have gone out. But the reality is that if Bubba Wallace doesn't go on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s podcast and call out the biggest stars in the sport, then we don't have that video, the very NFL player-ish video that the drivers did on Sunday morning. If Bubba Wallace doesn't go on a media spree on Monday saying take down the Confederate flag, I'm not saying that NASCAR wouldn't have done it, but I don't think they would have done it today. And so what he has done is exactly what he promised to do. Were he given the juice, were he given the platform, were he given the microphone where he could do it. And that guy has been through a lot, and yet has kept a smile on his face, and has gone to the racetrack since the day he was born, even though his friends have said, why are you going to that place? Because he knows what it is. He knows what the sport is. He knows about the people who are actually in that garage. And so he's made it his mission to make it a better place and to make more people that look like him feel comfortable to come to the racetrack, because it's awesome. It's a phenomenal experience. And why anyone would – NASCAR fans drive me crazy because it's always, was this good for the sport? They're obsessed with that phrase. Well, you know, Jeff Gordon hosting Saturday Night Live, that's good for the sport. Do you think flying that flag was good for the sport? Because it wasn't. And now Bubba Wallace is making everyone, you know, I'm telling you, it's, history is going to look back on him, whether he never wins a race or not, of being just a pivotal figure in the history of the sport.
It's Spain and Company, Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornette. We're talking to ESPN senior writer Ryan McGee. He's got a fantastic story up that just hit. The Confederate flag is finally gone at NASCAR car races, and I won't miss it for a second. You can find it on the .com. Ryan, I'm curious. A lot of these decisions, all of these happenings are made without fans. Nobody in the crowd to react to Bubba Wallace's paint job. Nobody in the crowd to try to fight this new rule prohibiting Confederate flags. How much do you think that matters? And how necessary was it in this current moment to take as big of steps as possible, knowing that there will likely be pushback and maybe even a temptation to backtrack once we get back to quote unquote normal life?
No, I think the second half of what you said is important, because I think the temptation to backtrack, they're going to get a running start on us now, and there's no excuse not to do it. And a week and a half, they've just announced, and a week and a half is going to be 5,000 fans in attendance at the Talladega Super Speedway and 44 RVs. Now, that's the biggest racetrack, oval racetrack in the world. They're going to be plenty spread out. Social distancing will not be a problem. There is a 100% chance of some Yahoo trying to fly a Confederate flag. I mean, they're in the shadow of Anniston, Alabama. And you kids can Google Anniston and see what the history of that place is.
Slipping
and so
in like an octopus.
There's going to there's going
to
be something.
A hockey rink.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be something. But NASCAR, I think, will be ready for it. And, yeah, it doesn't hurt that right now they can do this in a little bit of a vacuum. But it also gives them time to prepare. And, yeah, but listen, I think that – and, Sarah, you go to war with these ding-dongs every day on Twitter. And I do to a limited extent, but certainly I have over the last week, and I tweeted it over the weekend. What the racists are realizing now is they're outnumbered. Mm-hmm. And what the racists are realizing now is what they perceived as a safe haven, the NASCAR racetrack, mm-hmm. they don't have that anymore. And so as a result, they're reacting the way that they're going to react. And I am 100% for making them feel as small and surrounded as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone was saying something to me, ill thought out, but this was on Twitter, so that's no surprise. Something to the effect of, we can't just keep taking everything away from racists. I don't think getting the Confederate flag out of our competitive sports arenas, where they will mistake it as a place where they're allowed to have it when they're protected and endorsed, we need to get rid of it. It can't be a space for it to thrive. It can't be a space where competitors or fans or others feel like that is something that is welcome. And I'm not really worried about what happens when you continue to bury the people's opinions. I hope that they are buried and die off with a generation when they don't get the sunlight and the support of being out in the open. That's the hope, at least.
Yeah.
It's not that simple. But
listen, NASCAR fans have a valid complaint when it comes to the fact that NASCAR abandoned its roots on a lot of different levels. You're talking to a guy born in Rockingham, North Carolina. We have a beautiful, historic, empty racetrack that they abandoned for bigger markets. There's a long list of things that NASCAR fans can be unhappy about that fall under the category of what was taken away from us. The Confederate flag is not on that list.
Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff, Ryan. I encourage everybody to go read his latest story on .com. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Anytime, y'all. Thanks.